You know it's a crazy episode when Claroline is not the most important thing that happened. Oh, yeah. And we have Charles Michael Davis in the house tonight here on The Original.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I feel very sensitive about the fact that every time I intro the show, Tiana and Sam start hysterically laughing at me. I'm a passionate person, okay?
You make really like great voices and faces.
Ooh, so voices and faces.
Your voice goes all deep all of a sudden.
Yeah, when you yell and you're very passionate and you point and it's like your face freezes. Like
and then you look at us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Like, you look at us like, react to me.
And then you guys do and you laugh at me, and that's because we are here for AfterBuzz TV's The Original Season 5. Episode 6, what, comma, will, comma, I, comma, have, comma, left, question mark. They really switched it up there at the end with that one. Oh my God, was this one of the best episodes of all time? And here to break it down, I'm Roxy Stryer. That's Sam Davidson.
Hey guys, excited to be back.
That's Tiana Hobson, your chat mistress.
Hello everyone. I missed you all last week.
Did you?
No, not you. No, I'm just joking,
just the
of course.
People
just
in the chat.
Just the chat.
She missed us, she told us.
Did she?
I didn't get that message.
I did. Oh wow.
Well, it was in the group text.
You know what we missed a lot from last season? Charles Michael Davis,
yes.
Who is Skyping in with us today in a little bit, because not only is he Marcel on the show, but he also was the director of this beautiful episode. Did you guys love this as much as I did?
Yeah, it was like a movie. It was awesome.
T?
I loved it, and I just want to clarify to everyone.
Claroline?
I want to Claroline to everyone. clarify that this was an amazing episode despite, like, the actions that happened, because people were like, how was this a great episode? Like, you know, Haley, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yes, but it was still, this episode was so exciting and tense. Like, it kept you on the edge of your seat the whole time.
I completely agree. And yes,
it's sad. I'm
a little biased because there is a lot of incredible Claroline moments, which we will get to, but that wasn't even as incredible as the ending that we gave Haley, which, spoiler alert, although you guys have to have seen that by now, was the most gut-wrenching, gorgeous, like, how did they make me not... While I was so happy, I was not... I was okay. I was so sad I was okay. I was...
Because she was.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why.
Yes, because she was okay. Marissa in the booth tonight. Hi, Marissa Serafini.
Hello, ladies.
You're going to be helping us out with Charles Michael Davis when he can get on the line. He's a busy man, guys.
Yeah.
He's got a crazy schedule. So
he's
just
running New Orleans. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's
pretty
so
busy.
True. You just chime in and let us know when he is there. But before that, I want to tell you guys that when we talk to Tiana about being the chat mistress, that means that you guys can join her live on YouTube. She likes you better than us anyway, so every single Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, you can talk to us live, and she actually is going to read some of your questions to Charles Michael Davis on the show today, and we have future guests coming in too, and also, you guys can just chat with us every week, so you definitely want to be there live, but if you're not, there's always iTunes, and leave a comment there. We read those every single week as well, so wherever you are, you have no excuse to not get involved in the conversation.
Oh, I got excited. I thought I saw him, but it's Marissa.
Oh, you. Sam is looking up at the Skype. But now we do see him. Is that our friend Charles Michael Davis that we have on the line?
Hey.
Hey. First of all, a round of applause to you because, oh my gosh, this episode was incredible. We loved it. So
appreciate it.
Tell us about...
How do I see you guys?
You can't see us?
Usually they can't see us. We can see that. Like, the fans can see you, and so can we, but I don't think you can see us.
It also doesn't matter. We look the same. We just look like three big Originals fans.
Yeah.
That's what we look like. You can picture it perfectly right about now. So last season when we had you Skype in for your episode that you directed, that was really exciting, and it was your first time directing an episode on the show. Now you're a veteran at it. How did it feel this time around?
Good. I was definitely a lot more calm and kind of knew what to expect. So we made our days and got everybody out within like the 12-hour turnaround times.
This had a very intense feel to the episode, and there was a lot of pressure on you probably going into this because you're killing off one of the major characters on the show. Did you pick this episode, or was this the one they asked you to do and this fell in your lap?
Yeah, some of the writers just showed up. I found out about it when some of the writers showed up on set, and they're like, hey, I heard you got Haley's death episode. I just knew I was getting episode number 6, and then number 6 has happened to be, you know, the death of a major character. That's when I started to feel the pressure.
I think it was just one of the most beautiful episodes in a lot of ways, but, you know, the performance from Phoebe specifically, I can tell it was a lot of directing behind that, you know, from you, just her emotion and everything. I congratulations. It really was awesome.
Oh, thanks. Thank you. Yeah, she did a beautiful job. I was just watching the episode earlier today, and I remember that moment where she pulls Hope in for a hug and says, I love you. It wasn't scripted. And so that was her. And yeah, a lot of the stuff was very, very organic. And, you know, Phoebe came in and she was prepared and wanted to show, you know, even more and show sort of this raw side. And yeah, she really brought it, you know.
I can tell this is going to be one of those after shows that I cry during many times. We're going to get to the Haley Hope stuff in a little bit because we're saving the best for last. But we wanted to start with the Freya Vincent situation because this was an interesting dilemma we had going on here. I feel like usually we see Vincent as our moral compass. And he's like, it's important to be honest, to be truthful, to let everybody have free will and make their own decisions. And in this episode, he completely seemed to go against that. Were you surprised when you read this script, Charles, and you saw that that was the way they were taking his character?
I loved it. I was surprised. And it's actually a theme of the show. If you watch, all the male characters are on the fence about something, or they're sort of vulnerable and they're in a position that they've never been in before. You know, even Roman's character, you know, and so they're kind of looking for someone to give them some honest, real advice because they just don't know how to handle this situation. And seeing the Vincent character like that, it was, I really loved it because I had him in 407 and that was a different journey and a different turn. And then I had him again and Yusuf's one of my favorite actors to work with. And actually I had that so in mind that if you look in his scenes, I hid flowers in each shot. So even Ivy is wearing a dress with flowers on it. He'll be sitting and there'll be a flower on the table because it kind of symbolized this sort of, he was blossoming and sort of opening up and you know, like opening himself up as well.
How do you come up with something like that? Do you read books on symbolism? Do you check out other people's work, or is it just kind of something that creatively comes to you?
It's something that creatively comes to me. And, you know, you just think, what do I have to work with, you know, to kind of spice things up? And I remember thinking, you know, I want a flower on the table. And then I thought, we'll put a flower on the table. And then, you know, I was talking to the costume designer. She goes, I have this great dress that I want to put Ivy in. And it's got this floral pattern. And I was like, done. All right. So that's a theme. But yeah, you know, I'm a nerd for this stuff. So I'd watch you know, the behind the scenes for other movies, and they talk about, like, if you go back and watch, you'll notice, like, you know, there's always a bear or a bear reference in New Girl. And I was like, that's subliminally, that, I guess that's why I love this show. I love bears.
Who doesn't?
So people who love flowers, yeah, anyone who loves gardening, you're secretly going to love all the scenes with Vincent.
Is that something that you were more comfortable adding into your second time directing on the show as opposed to the first time around? Like all the flowers and symbolism.
It was something I was comfortable, but and if you notice this episode, there's a lot of characters just dialogue, talking, sitting, talking. And the episode that I had before is a lot of movement and a lot of action. So this one allowed me to think creatively about what else I can add to it. You know, when you strip certain things away, and so yeah, it just allowed me to really think deeply and try to tweak little things here and there.
Talk to us about the decision, and I don't know if you were privy to this beforehand or if you knew this was happening, but to make Declan a relative cousin of Cammie's.
Oh, I loved it. Well, for one thing, when we hired Torrance, and I know Torrance from when he was doing his other show, and we were at the upfronts, and so I knew, you know, you're getting a special actor and someone who's been on the CW before. You can't just be a one-off, or he's not just going to die. So I knew there was something that was going to happen with his character. But yeah, I had no idea that there was going to be this tie-in with Cammy. And so, you know, I love that that was just, you know, added a bit to the storyline.
As a director, when there's a twist like that, do you have to make sure it's a certain kind of moment, a certain kind of feel? Because I didn't see that one coming. And the way that you did show that scene, it shocked me.
Yeah, you know, it was already, you know, later on in the act, you talk about when Vincent comes in and approaches him at the cemetery.
Yes, and he sees the gravestone and he puts the pieces together. And then subsequently he decides he's actually not going to tell Declan about Haley.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. It was a beautiful, beautiful moment. Gorgeous. And, you know, that's one thing talking with the writer, Marguerite, we'll go over and talk about, you know, these specific moments. And you know, she's a great writer. And so I knew that, you know, nothing was just to be sort of glossed over. And in shooting that scene, you know, I thought about it, you know, what's the feel? And, you know, Torrance has these great eyes. And so I was like, I want to start on these eyes. And, you know, we want to be inside his head and kind of feel what he's feeling and what he's thinking. And also, when we reveal and pull out that he's actually in front of Cammy's grave, it's kind of like, oh. And now we're getting that same realization that Vincent's getting, and that's hitting him too. And so, yeah, it all played out perfectly. It was, but for the most part, it was pretty much on the page, you know, and then the actors brought great performances to it.
I think you're not giving yourself enough credit.
No. I gotta say, yeah, I enjoy directing. I have a great time. Yeah, you see through me, like, yeah, I mean, I said I was like really excited about this. I'm like, I really want to talk about this episode. So, give me permission. I'm gonna
pat yourself on the back.
Yeah, good. You should pat yourself on the back. You did an amazing job. Do you feel like you're more of an actor's director or more of a visual director, a combination of both, or how would you describe it at this point?
You know, a combination of all the things. It actually allows me to use everything that I love, you know, outside of acting. I also study dance. I study music. I also do photography. So it all blends together. So, you know, when working on blocking or something like that, that's something I get really excited about and I care about. And it's not something that I don't have a bit of myself to add to it. So directing allows me to use all those aspects. So, yeah, working with the actors, I can communicate. I can go, you know, to my actor, you know, the actor playing Roman. I can say, all right, you're in this house, you're in this room, and these two are just, they're filling up the space and they're in your ear. So you got to get out of there. You're like, you know, I'm like, I got three sisters. And I'm like, when they start bickering and arguing and things like that, I'm like, I need space. And he goes, I got three sisters too. I know what you mean. Yeah. Use that.
I love that. I love that. And I also love a good humble casual brag. I'm a photographer. I'm a dancer. I study all this. Damn.
I'll leave him alone.
You busy guy.
Yeah. You know, I'm interested in a lot of things. And, you know, that's why I got into the business is, you know, acting allows you that expansion. So luckily directing allows me to use all those things. I'm many talents.
Now we just need a musical episode before you guys wrap this season to see Marcel.
I don't know if we have time. Move.
I mean, I'll a one show spinoff.
Yeah,
maybe a short.
Yeah. Short.
No, Bloopers. I'm ready for a whole thing.
Don't forget when we first meet Marcel, he's up there doing karaoke. So you already got that.
That's true.
It's never enough.
You can go relive that.
We always want more. So as a bunch of fans of this show in here, how do we feel about the Vincent-Ivy relationship? Because we have seen him lose quite a few women in his time, and nothing seems to stick. Are we into this one? Do we think that this will be the everlasting love?
What do you think?
Ahead.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have enough brain power, essentially, to care about him and Ivy that much. I'm focused on other things. Like
Haley?
Yes. You know, I'm like, okay, he'll figure it out. You know, I'm just concerned about Hope and Klaus and, Elijah. But I do think it's a good one. I think they're leading us on a positive path to possibly leave him on with the show on.
I just want Vincent to find love.
Yeah.
I just want him to
That's because we are such fans of Yusuf, and every time he comes in here, he's the nicest guy, and we're just like, we want you to have a great relationship on the show. Why do all of your lovers have to kill children and then die? It just doesn't seem fair. I think that this episode actually got me to start caring about Ivy and Vincent, because I think that when he was off balanced, she finally showed that she adds value to this relationship by bringing him back and being like, no, you have to tell the truth, free will. You have to let him make his own decisions. Now, he didn't quite follow through with that because he wimped out at the end there, but I'm into it. I feel like this could be end game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the flowers are very important. So that floral dress, I'm thinking, this is a done deal, man.
Very, very true. Speaking of endgame, though, now we're going to talk about the favorite ship. I'm sure this has gotten around to you before, Charles Michael Davis, because how could you avoid it? Claraline is a big deal in the Originals fandom. So not only did you have the pleasure slash burden of having to deal with Haley's death episode, but you had to deal with one of the biggest Claraline episodes. Are you a fan of the two of them together on this show? How do you feel about Claraline?
It was funny because I didn't have much experience. So when I got onto the show, onto the Originals, I would get asked that question a lot. And I knew the fans love the relationship. So I would jokingly, you know, like acquiesce and agree and go, yeah, I'm a huge Claraline shipper. Like, love their chemistry, even though I had no reference. I hadn't really seen much of the Vampire Diaries to really know. And so I thought how ironic it is that, you know, they're together the entire time and in my episode. And I love the way that they interact, especially the scene when, you know, they're just sitting by the car, having, you know, drinking coffee, and he's waiting. And then, you know, they open up a little bit. And then the scene again when they're actually inside the car chatting, like, I just fell in love with both of them and that relationship. So I hope the fans enjoyed it as well.
I thought it was so fantastic because the conversations they had, it was casual in a way. This is, I mean, you know, they're going to go try to find hope, but it was a real life kind of, oh, we're getting coffee, we're in the car, we're driving. It wasn't, I'm going to murder someone and like running. It turned into that, of course. But, you know, before that, and it was just so lovely to kind of see them interact in this way. And I mean, in my Claraline head, I go, I see a future here. I see them just driving like any other day, drinking coffee. Like this could be their life. And I loved it. And I loved them talking about their past. And, you know, we're big Vampire Diaries girls. So it's always fun to hear callbacks.
Tiana, how'd you feel?
You know, I loved it. I was living for that. I've been waiting for this all season. Anytime those two are together, I love it. The fans love it. In our YouTube live chat right now, just so you know, Charles Michael Davis, they are loving that you love Claraline. They love that you love them, and they agree with you that they thought it was great.
They're taking that sound bite straight to the bank.
Yeah, straight to the bank.
He said it. He agrees.
Claraline all the way.
Oh, you're going to regret that. Yeah. That's a GIF waiting to happen. GIF. I'm still not cool enough to understand.
My favorite part of it was just, like Sam said, you know, they were really adult about this whole thing. It felt like real life. They were bonding as parents, and it was the first time Klaus really was told, like, hey, these are the feelings that a father has, the constant worry, the love, the that's never going to go away. And he had Caroline there to be the one to help him realize that.
Talk us through that scene on set. What are you saying to them? How are you setting the mood? Or is this just a Candace Joseph? They've been doing this together a long time and they've got it down.
Well, it was interesting. You know, life imitates art, and Candace had been away from the show, you know, and away from that relationship. So when you see them come back together, they are getting to know each other. And in that time, you know, Candace got married and had a baby. So, you know, she had changed. And, you know, the only notes I gave her was, you know, just to nurture him. Here's this man who is, you know, one of the baddest beings on the planet, and he needs help and guidance. And he's trying to ask for it. And you're there to take care of him in the only way that the one person in the world that he can talk to can. And so, you know, she took the, you know, he easily took those notes really well. And the interesting thing for Joe, you know, I've worked with him and known him. I got to mess around and just whisper in his ear and go, hey, you know, make this one like a little more like Keanu Reeves from John Wick. And he just looked at me and go, okay, mate, I got you. But while, and so, you know, just to see what that might do. And there was actually one where I go, you know what, give me a little Robert Downey Jr. from Weird Science. And I had said that in the take where, in the scene where they're outside of the car. And then I said it again in the scene inside the car. And so if you notice, his rhythms change a little bit and also his mannerisms change a little bit. And you get to see things play out through his body. Like he can't hold in, and the way he smiles and then tries to be conscious of the fact that he's smiling, you know, while she's in the car and doesn't want her to see it. It's a whole different Klaus. And it was nice to be able to mold the Claireline relationship and give the fans something a little bit different, you know, than they haven't seen.
Did you actually use a lot of different footage from different takes then and chopped it together? Like, was some of that John Wick we're seeing and some of that Weird Science? Like, are we watching all different edited chopped together?
No, once we found out on Robert Downey Jr., because I jumped out after Yellow Cut, I was like, that was actually really amazing. I said, you know, your whole rhythm changed, your interaction with her changed, and we saw this other side. And I would just always go up to him and just go, you know what I'm about to say right now? He goes, RDJ. RDJ. Oh,
what I would do to be a fly on the wall.
Yeah, that was my only note to him through the entire thing.
I love that. My favorite line in this, it would be impossible not to notice you, Caroline, with that smile that you're talking about.
Melt my heart.
I can't even help it. Like, the teenage girl inside of me in that moment was like, okay, this is endgame. Like, whatever we have to do to get you guys together on the spinoff show, we've got to do it. But
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. Yeah,
he's like, I'm not giving up anything.
Yeah.
I'm
good. Yeah.
You know what happens and we don't. It's not fair. But that was not all love that Klaus had this episode, because there was another thing that came back from his past to snap Claireline's neck and bite him in the butt, and that is brother Elijah. Oof, was this gut-wrenching to watch. When you started this season, did you think that Elijah would come back to the original script-wise earlier than episode 6, or were you thinking this was going to be long-term until the episode you were directing?
Yeah, with how fast things move, I thought he would have gotten his memory back pretty quickly, and I thought it was pretty ballsy and a nice twist and turn to keep him, to keep them separated and not brothers. You know, a show that's based on family, and you know, and they lost a family member. So it was very interesting, just to say the least.
It's a big burden, you know, to direct this episode also, because we essentially villainize, in my mind, Elijah, who's been one of our favorite, you know, characters. Mm. He's never really a villain. He always tries to do his best. But after this, like, boy, bye. Get out. Get out of this family. You're not welcome anymore.
How do we ever forgive him?
You can't. How's Hope going to forgive him?
I don't know. Like, what do you think, T?
Okay, I see what you guys are saying, and there's a lot of people in the chat. I see a hashtag F Elijah, and, you know, he's dead to me, and Elijah, what are you doing? Stuff in the chat. I understand that. I'm mad and frustrated, too, but I also realize that that's not our Elijah.
But he is.
He is, but he's not. He doesn't know the feelings, but the moment when he walks in the door and he sees Haley, that to me, I was like, oh, come on, come back to us. This is the moment where you're going to come back to us. And he still didn't. But at the end of the day, while he did play a role in it, he's not the one ultimately responsible for Haley's death. So that's why I can still forgive him, and I will be okay with Elijah.
I don't know if I can ever do it. Charles Michael Davis, what are you telling Daniel on set when he looks at Haley and he's watching her about to get her heart ripped out? And he kind of has that head tilt in that moment, and we're wondering, what is he thinking? Is he going to go one way or the other? And then we see he goes the other. What are you talking to him about?
Well, I mean, luckily Daniel is so good with subtext, and he's a good subtle actor. You know, he does a tilt of the head here. So I tell him, you know, I'll give you three takes, give me three variations. Because he pulled me aside, he says, you know, mate, what's going on here? I said, give me one so we have it in the edit, one where you do kind of recognize her, one where you don't know who she is, one where you just come in, you see the situation, you acknowledge Greta's okay, and then you move on. And yeah, I said, you know, I'll just give you a few goes at it. And that's what I I do for him, you know, most of the time is just give me a few goes at it, and he can remember, you know, what he did for each take, and then also give a reaction to, you know, three different reactions to something else. So,
which one is this that we saw? Yeah.
Because this I believe that subtle recognition and almost something like of a faint memory, you know, I think, and something that kind of stirs him, where, you know, he's obviously going in to check on Roman, but something gives him pause, and it's more than just the scene. And you know, I don't want to give anything away. We'll see. You'll see more play out as the season goes on.
I do have a question from the chat, since we're talking about this scene with Elijah and Klaus. We know that Joseph and Daniel are big goofballs with each other from their social media. So the big question was, how was it directing them in such a serious moment of a scene?
Oh, God, like herding cats, I swear. You know, but Daniel still had his episode to direct. So, you know, he was like, whatever you need, mate, you know, whatever you need me to do. And that's what I have to remind him. I just, hey, when it's your episode, you just wait. But, you know, they're professionals. But, yeah, they really are like brothers. They really are like brothers. So there's times where I had to be like Denzel in Training Day and be like, all right, let me quarterback this. Like, come in here. All right, here's what we're doing. Calm down. Here we go.
Any spoilers on how he did with his directorial, his episode?
I'm jealous. He had a great episode. And the actors put in a great performance, especially the guy that plays Marcel.
Including you, yeah.
Oh, I think we know that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does a great job in Daniel Gillies' episode.
I heard he sings and dances in that episode.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, he taps.
Back to that moment, you know, I mentioned Phoebe's performance and, you know, the work you must have done with her before, but when she sees Elijah and you see this weight lifted off of her shoulders in a way, like, oh my God, he's here. He's here to save us. He's going to save us. And then when he did the, I'm getting the chills talking about this. And then when he did the opposite, and the look on her face is just utter disgust. I just found it fascinating to watch these, like, nonverbal cues between the two of them.
Me too.
Yeah. Like I said, both beautiful actors, and in the sense of their craft, not just physically, they're stunning. In the sense of their craft. And Phoebe came in so prepared, you know. It's been quite a journey for her, you know, to go through all of this. And then her character is a mother and now has a teenage daughter. And now here she is saying goodbye to the show. And so there was just all that coming into play, and, you know, she was just like, I got this, you know, and I would just maybe come up and whisper something in her ear. But honestly, I think at the time we were so crunched for time, I was kind of just like, okay, and action, spraying. Okay, here we go.
Well, she knocked it out of the park, luckily, in that time.
Oh, yeah.
How do you as a director, because I know as an actor they tell you not to judge your character. When you're directing an episode like this, are you judging Greta, Roman, Antoinette? Are you sitting there like, you mother effs, like you're messing with the wrong family as you're directing that? Or how are you feeling?
I feel for all of them. It's funny, you know, because I become a super fan. Like, I really, really care for each character. And have to know where they're coming from. Even Declan's character, you know, there's the scene where he's talking to them, trying to get them to step up. And he's, you know, he's so riled up because Haley's missing. And Vincent and Freya, they don't seem fazed by it. And so I'm going up to him saying, you know, you're trying to rouse them. And when they don't, it breaks your heart. Let the audience see that heartbreak. And it's just like, and afterwards I'm like, oh, I need a moment. And then, you know, so for me, I just get so emotionally invested in all of them, where there's no judgment at all. It's more of a caring, you know, in all their causes. But what Greta did, though, was I don't know about that, though. I think there's better ways to go about it.
1,000%.
I don't care. I have no... Most characters, I agree. I can see both sides of it because, honestly, the main people on the show are villains. Klaus was introduced to the Vampire Diaries as the master villain of the world, essentially. But Greta, I cannot relate to her whatsoever.
Well, they draw so many parallels between her and Hitler. Like, she
forgot about that.
Yeah.
No joke. Like, she's trying to wipe out a race of people or of hybrids, of wolves, whatever she's trying to do. And she's convinced these people to be her family, and she's got them doing these things for her that, like, they don't even quite know what they're doing. And we've talked about Nazis for a lot of the season. She's the Hitler of the show. So it's a little hard to see both sides. I feel you on that one. I think that it's great, though, to have a strong female villain in this that you just want to throw through a window mm-hmm. every single time. Mm-hmm. But then to have the two people under her, Antoinette and Roman, where it's like you do kind of feel for them in a way. Because we saw in this episode, Roman got so deceived.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He really believed that. What was that like on set, that moment where that kind of switches for him when he sees what his mom is really going to do?
Oh, it was heartbreaking. It really was. You know, the writer had shed a tear because, you know, we're a show about family. And so you can't discredit that, you know, this is Roman's family. It's just another dysfunctional family. And so when his mother asked him, you know, to do this, you know, horrific deed, you know, and stake hope. You know, it's just like, how could you not feel for him? Because he's been manipulated so much. And at the core, he just wants family. He wants someone to love. And he sees the love between Hope and Haley. And he realizes what he's been missing out on all in that moment. And that's a lot to process. So, yeah, you know, the heart just breaks for him. You know, he did a tremendous job acting it.
Yeah, because if my mom asked me to kill someone, I might do it. It's my mama, you know? Like, I love her to death, and I would do anything for her. So to see him so conflicted, to see that mother-son, you know, sort of confliction going on, I think it was definitely portrayed very well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. We've been very, very harsh on Hope this season because, you know, she kidnapped her own mother. So that's like puts a damper on the mood a little bit at the top of the season. Yeah. How are we feeling after tonight's episode? Have we let that resentment towards her go because of how this all plays out?
Okay, I just want to start with my favorite comment from the YouTube chat right now. Price Wright said, Hope needs black parents. She wouldn't be having half these problems if she did. And I just think that's like one of the realest things I've seen in the chat ever. So I just had to shout that one out.
I like the shout out.
Like, he's not wrong.
We'll never know, though. We just, I mean, maybe we'll see some things go down on Legacies. We don't know how that
works. We don't know how it goes.
Sam, how are you feeling?
Well, I think what's different about, you know, Greta and Roman and Antoinette versus Hope and, you know, the original family is they are blood. And with Roman and, you know, Antoinette described, I'm assuming it was a similar story with Roman, that Greta kind of just found them as they were dying. We at least know Antoinette's story and turned them. So it's a different, you know, kind, I think, of bond. What do you think, Charles? Like, as a director, do you think that bond is different from being, like, a quote-unquote parent by turning someone versus actually being a parent from since they were born?
Yeah, I mean, I think just chemically, biologically, there's something about, you know, being a parent and your own child that you're just bound to them because literally your genes are are with them. But this is particularly a different context, though. You got someone who at the heart of it, though, is trauma. So it's not just the fact that, you know, that they are sort of adopted in. It's that they're adopted in and they connect because of trauma.
Right.
And yeah, it's about sort of, you know, do they help each other heal that trauma or do they kind of revel in it and magnify it and it becomes sort of their chains. And, you know, unfortunately Roman, you know, got into the wrong family where he hasn't been able to deal with that trauma, where, you know, flip side on the originals, you know, they're aware of the trauma of Klaus and Michael that the father had. And they're trying to heal from it, and they're trying together as a family to deal with it.
Do you know how old Roman is in Vampire Years? I was trying to figure this out earlier because I wanted to know.
Yeah.
Oh, is that for later?
He's old.
What's that?
Is that like a spoiler, or is it just? I mean, he's just old.
He's old. Yeah, he's definitely, yeah, he's old to like be dating a teenager. Yeah.
I try not to think about that, those things when you watch the show, because like, I'm like, oh, they're both so cute. Maybe they'll make out. And then I'm like, am I rooting for two 14-year-old, like a 14-year-old to kiss a 1,000-year-old?
Well, I mean, we've been rooting for it since day one of the Vampire Diaries. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's, true. Oh my God, speaking of that, that moment with Klaus and Caroline where she's like, yeah, I'm into the bad boys. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're way too old for me. Yeah. I was like, don't remind me that, Caroline. Shh, I don't want to hear it. So all of this is just kind of stalling till we have to get to the moment. The true Haley death moment. When you were reading the script for the first time, did you feel like she was about to get her heart ripped out and that was going to be how she died? Or were you privy to the information before that, that she was going to have this honorable death where she essentially saves a lot of people's lives by burning instead of? Yeah, I
knew. You know, they let me know beforehand. But originally she was supposed to go through a window. And we just had some logistics to work through because, you know, that was a real location, a real house, so we couldn't just rip out a window. And then, you know, what if it doesn't work out? And also the height. So we change it to these doors that she's going to burst out of. But I always knew that it was a sacrifice, that she was in a position where she felt like she had to do it, where there was no one else to save her. And that's something that the writer and I talked about, was normally you can always count on Klaus or Elijah to come and save the day. And, you know, here's a character defining moment where she realizes, you know, oh crap, you know, they're not going to save the day this time. And we get to see, you know, how courageous she is. I love that it was that kind of decision. But I guess to answer your question, originally I heard that she was just going to die and I didn't know what was going to happen. And then once I got word of the script, then I knew it was such an honorable death.
I loved the stuff because I love that it's the ultimate mother sacrifice. She has that moment of just clarity and you see it in her eyes. You see her looking around and it's like, she's about to do something badass. And she did. So she went out with a blaze of glory. And
literally.
Yeah, literally. And so it was so nice to see a character, you know, go out still as her authentic self, because Haley's never been one to just roll over and die. She's always going to fight to the end, and she's going to save her family and her daughter. And the look she gives over to Hope, who's being held by Roman, and then over to Klaus, it was just beautiful.
I also don't know if we want to see Haley live as a not wolf. It's such a huge part of who she is. And after going through that binding, it was like, it's a massive thing that she had taken away from her. And so after that point in the episode, I feel like the stakes were completely different because it was like they already took half of her from her. And so I was happy to see that she was able to get the higher ground back again by actually taking control.
Yeah. With that being said, too, though, I mean, we've learned, like, being a mother is, I think, first now, instead of being a wolf. And then there's wolf, and then, you know, the vampire.
This was her being a mother, right?
Exactly. It kind of covered everything, and it... God, I'm upset. I think I'm kind of in shock.
Me too. I just watched it
this morning.
What was the mood after Haley shot her, or Phoebe shot her last scene? Was there cake? Were people crying? Was she crying?
Was there cake?
But most importantly, was there cake? Yes.
Well, I mean, not to give anything away, it's not the last time you're going to see her.
Oh, thank God.
Okay. So basically what you're telling me is they're going to take her ashes, they're going to do a witchy spell, and they're going to bring her back to life.
Roxy's like, so you're telling me there's a chance.
Yep, that's all I need to hear.
She haunts us as a ghost. She's just always there, like Casper. She's real friendly.
Pass them, honestly.
I'd be okay with that.
On these kinds of shows, you can always count on either evil twin coming back, flashback. So I'm glad to hear that we do get a little bit more of her. But that's still got to be a hard scene afterwards. Is it somber? Are people like, oh my God, Hope just lost her mother? Are you guys like, okay, lunch break, let's move on with our day?
No, I mean, there was definitely a round of applause for her performance, that's for sure. And yeah, you know, it's a heavy show, so we try to keep it as light as possible, and you know, it wasn't too much. You wouldn't make too much of a hoopla about it, but you know, on our final day with her, then yeah, you know, we had our goodbyes. You know, we also didn't know if we were going to come back for season 5, so we all kind of had these like false goodbyes last year where it's like hugging and, you know, I really enjoyed working with you. And then a few months later, it's like, oh, see them again. That's not going to be awkward.
Just kidding. Like when you say bye to somebody, you hug them and then you walk in the same direction towards your cars. And it's like, oh, well, this is awkward now. Been there. Except it's your actual lives. So I get that. Yeah. All right. So we do this thing on the show, though, Charles Michael Davis, where we're going to incorporate you now, because every week we give our fiercest moment of the week from that episode. And actually, while we do this, Marissa in the booth likes to play us some of our Queen Bee. So while we're thinking of ours, I know it's probably different when you are actually on set. So maybe you have a different fiercest moment of the week and you guys write yours in iTunes. Thank you, Marissa, and contribute those. So we'll start with this table. T, what was your fiercest moment of the week?
I'm doing it, guys. Haley coming out with ripping off Greta's daylight ring and tossing it out of the way and flinging them both, sacrificing herself and, you know, taking out the enemy with a 1-2 punch combo.
Okay, mm-hmm. Sam?
So mine again was Haley, but it is the moment that she pretends that she's about to die and she, like, rolls her eyes in the back. I mean, she is about to die, but she's, you know, making it like she's just out of commission. And then she has this little smile on her face, and then boom, she's back, and she saves the day.
I love that, too. I think it's got to be what you said, T, but I also love the moment, again, giving it to Haley, where she hears Hope out, and Hope's like, I've got this crazy idea, and then we see that that's getting binded, and she, when she does it in her forehead, and she's, like, screaming so loud, and it's like, the only reason she's doing this is because she's a parent. That was pretty badass. So what do you got for us? What was the fiercest moment while actually being there?
Gosh, I mean, yeah, you got to give it to Haley. But I don't know, just to add something, Hope had a great moment where she turns and you see her face in the camera and she's trying to be strong for her mother when she has to look away. But, you know, it's just, it's breaking her heart. So that moment, I thought the bond between them is so beautiful.
I love it. I love it. All right, that's it for our fiercest moments. I wonder if anybody, any huge Claroline fans out there have that or an Ivy, Freya, Vincent, Declan thing. So whatever it is, I'll write it down for us. And now I think that probably there are some questions that people still have. So let's see if we have some chat-related questions, T.
I do have some. Latin G wants to know, what did you learn from directing your first episode that you consciously applied for your second episode?
Oh, that's a good question. One was to communicate. after yelling cut in my first episode, I was kind of just like, that was awesome. That was good. And people are like, all right, now what are we going to do? I'm like, all right, cut. That was great. We're going to do one more. But this time it's just for camera. What you guys did was beautiful. Give me the same thing. We're just going to, you know, really stay tight and focus on this.
RDJ.
So communication. All relationship. All good relationship.
I love that.
Mary Ann wants to know, when are we going to see Marcel interacting with Rebecca again?
Oh, very soon. Very, very soon.
Very soon. Ooh. I like that answer. Big fans of that relationship over here, too.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe we don't even have time this episode, but God, she ripped all of our hearts out when she ripped your heart out with that. Oh,
that was cold-blooded.
Yeah. That was.
Yes. No pun intended.
A lot of feels this season.
Lots and lots. One more question. Which one am I going to go with?
Ooh, who's the lucky person?
Millie George wants to know if what you can tell us about how Haley's death is going to affect Klaus and Hope's relationship.
Hmm. Oh, gosh. It makes it that much more important. You know, the bond between them and how much she really needs them. It'll help to deepen the relationship. That's for sure.
Okay, one more. Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry,
go ahead. We love our fans, so we got it.
Lala wants to know, are there more Hope and Marcel scenes? Like, could he possibly be on Legacies?
Ooh, dang.
It's funny. I mean, obviously, I'm not in L.A. I'm in New York, and we had our upfronts. And so I saw Julie at a upfront party, and then I said, you know, I pitched myself to direct an episode. She goes, yeah, you can come back and play, and there's definitely going to be, you know, a home and a place for for me to come and visit, whether hopefully it's directing or acting. But yeah, I kind of promised Danielle that I would eventually have to come back.
Because I have to say, your scenes with her have been some of our favorites. Yeah. Like seeing that whole uncle vibe that you have going with Hope is just beautiful. So I know us and the fans hope to see more of that.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. All right. Likewise. Any other behind the scene things we have to know from you about being on set directing this episode?
Actually, yeah, I like to play music when I'm on the set. And the song that was used, the cover of Creep.
Yes, we opened with that tonight. We loved that.
Yeah, Ember Island. It was a song that I had earmarked. And a funny thing, I don't know if it'll ever get out, but if you at home want, take that same scene and set it to Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On and start from the top, and it plays out perfectly.
What?
You know, it's like really awkward. You know, I've been really trying.
Did you play that on set?
I did.
Oh, my God.
Well, I know what I'm going home and doing as soon as this is over.
Someone online's going to do that. Wow.
It is hilarious.
Like, immediately. Like, okay, well, that means we have to wrap this show so we can get started with that.
Yes.
Charles Michael Davis, thank you so much for joining us today. I believe you don't have a Twitter, which is a frustrating. Or are you?
No.
Are you on Twitter?
I have an Instagram.
Okay, good. Is that at Charles Michael Davis?
It's at, now somebody, like, I think somebody else already has that. So it's at Charles Davis 2020.
There we go.
Don't worry, I'm not even famous and someone took my name on Instagram too. I feel you. We have the same struggle.
Now you can just like DM them and say, you take my Instagram handle, I'm going to take your daylight ring. See if that works. Thank you again. Amazing job with this episode. And we will talk to you for Legacies when you direct an episode of that next year.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Guys.
Bye.
Oh my God, this episode, I'm not ready.
Sorry. One of his buttons just got. I was like, take the whole shirt off.
You guys, I did that with my mind, actually.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
But you're not our resident witch.
Sorry.
You don't know.
Tiana must have rubbed off on you. All right, let's quickly get to a couple predictions. While we're still on cloud nine about how amazing Charles Michael Davis is. He's one of those people you can't call just one name.
No, God, you have to go the whole name.
Every time.
Like Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah. You gotta go. Michael Murray.
Yeah. You gotta go all three. Three names all day.
All the three people names. All right, what do you guys got for predictions?
Okay, I don't know if this is necessarily a prediction, but there's been a lot of chat in the chat about Elijah.
Okay.
And how he's, like, dead to us and how he's done this horrible thing. And I just want to come a little bit to his defense to say that, yes, he chose to have his memories removed, but he did it for the good of the family.
Not really.
I mean, he did it so that he would...
He did for his happiness. I'm over UT.
But okay.
I'm over UT.
But this is the first time Elijah really has done anything that selfish against his family as
well.
Well,
it's a big thing.
It's a big thing.
It's a pretty crappy time to pick to do
that. I'm just saying that Klaus, and I'm ride or die for Klaus. We all know this. Klaus has done some terrible things too, and we found a way to forgive him. So I think we can find room in our hearts to see where
Marissa,
this
mic.
Leaves.
Cutter Mike.
Where
I
the season goes
anymore.
To see how Elijah redeems himself.
I will not have this energy on the panel. I will not. Sam, what are you thinking?
Well, piggybacking off of what you said about Elijah, I do not agree with you.
Are you
going
to shut her up? No.
No.
It depends what she says.
But with that being said, I think, especially with what Charles Michael Davis said about Phoebe having another episode potentially, I think that Elijah will remember, and I don't know how Phoebe will come back, or Phoebe.
Haley.
How Haley will come back, but it could be something to remind Elijah, and Elijah will just be so hating himself that he might, I'm not going to say he's going to take his own life, but he might kind of put himself.
How could he even do that?
Well, no, he could sacrifice himself in some way, shape, or form. I mean, there are ways originals can die. There's very, very
Where's
few.
Where's the white oak?
We don't know. With stupid white oak.
Yeah.
Whatever. But I think that he potentially could sacrifice himself to be with Haley again.
Just think about how when he gets his memories back and he remembers this moment, how devastated he's going to be to know that he wasn't there for Haley. Like, he's going to kill himself enough.
Marissa,
we don't have to do it for him, guys.
I'm over her. I'm over her.
We don't have to do it for him.
I'm done with this girl. I'm done with her. No, I'll never forgive you, Elijah. I just never will. I'm Team Klaus for life. And I feel like I can forgive Hope. She's a baby. Elijah's lived long enough to know what he did. I have no predictions other than the fact that I hope Roman goes away now. Because if... there's anything that Hope's like, oh, but he's still cute, I will come in your sleep and I'll haunt you forever. So,
okay,
that my predictions are I'm going to be haunting some people. Anyway, guys, that's it for this episode. It was a jam-packed one. Thank you to Charles Michael Davis again for Skyping in. Gosh, he is the best. Very strong director, equally strong actor.
And an amazing dancer.
And apparently amazing dancer and photographer.
Yeah.
If you want to keep the conversation going with me, you can find me at Roxy Stryer.
And you guys can find me at SamD43 on Twitter and Instagram and at SamDavidsonEntertainment.com.
Thank you to everyone who was in our live YouTube chat today. Sorry I wasn't chatting as much with you. I saw most of your comments, and the others I didn't. Sorry about that. But you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at the Tiana Hobson.
And of course, we're at AfterBuzz TV, and you can find us on iTunes, on YouTube, wherever you are. Leave us 5 stars, thumbs up, comment. We read everything we have to say, you have to say. We also read what we have to say. We just say what we have to say.
Yeah, that's the cool thing.
Yeah, that weird note that I just had. We'll see you next week, same time, same place.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.